Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to Educational HR Radio. Today, our guest is Andrew Bartlow. He's the founder and faculty member of People Leader Accelerator. Andrew, welcome to the show.
David, thanks so much. Glad to be with you.
No, it's exciting to have you on. There's so much going on in HR. You know, I know you have years of experience in HR, but have you ever seen a time like it?
You know, just today I heard somebody refer to this as the golden age of human resources. So short answer, no, have never seen a time like this for our function.
Yeah, no, it's really amazing. And I don't know really if it's golden or pyrite, but either way, it's shiny and it's golden, right, in terms of it. I would tell you, the stress level on HR has never been at the level it is today. You can talk to any HR leader. I don't care if you're talking about an HR generalist, an HR manager, director, VP, CHRO, all the way up. They are maxed at the capacity of what they need to do. Are you seeing the same thing?
Oh, and beyond max capacity. The expectations and requirements and demands on the time and the knowledge of HR pros. It may be a golden or pyrite era, but it is hot in the kitchen, hot in the frying pan for the HR professionals, given all that's being asked of us right now.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think the C-suite, and which of course many HR are part of, has always looked to HR to provide guidance on employees, but they never really had to been the legal counsel they have been today. And that's probably the biggest thing that's been so rapidly changing. The laws keep changing, the guidance keep changing, the adaptations of these guidance keep changing. What are some of the key areas that you see rapidly evolving today?
Yeah, well, legal and compliance elements, I think, are part of that with the pandemic and COVID restrictions and testing. And that has led as well to the distributed office environment, remote work. That's rapidly changing and evolving. Many organizations are starting to return to work that may have been fully distributed, and they're encountering hurdles. And that's part of the great resignation as well. These are all linked together, and it impacts human resources. And add to that the increased focus, and rightly so, on social equity issues. So much in popular and business culture around how we treat people and what's happening in the world around us. And as we speak today, there's a war going on in the world. And how do employers respond to what's happening in the Ukraine? So this is all very rapidly evolving, and HR is being looked to have the answers.
So how does today an HR leader take a look at all this? And I know many of them that say, you know, I had a plan. It looked really good at 8 o'clock in the morning when I arrived. And by 7 o'clock at night, I may get to start that plan. But there have been so many things that have happened during the day that just keeps pulling and tugging and going in different directions. How do you rein this in a little bit?
I think you used the operative word, which is plan. You know, start by having a plan for what your organization and your HR function is trying to accomplish. If you at least start from that place of understanding what are you trying to accomplish, then you can adapt, then you can evolve and pivot as needed. But if you're just dealing with your inbox and dealing with the various requests or demands that are rolling in throughout the day, you're never you're never going to keep up with it, and you'll burn out or flame out or opt out pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I do see that. I think that's part of it. There's a lot of HR professionals that have been giving second thoughts after 2 years of literally tactical every day. And there is some strategy, don't get us wrong, of course, but they're really, even senior leaders have been very tactical. And that to-do list, that plan has become all tactic. And of course, you know, the CEO, and rightfully so, the CFO want strategy. But, you know, strategy is, I'm going to make it through this week. I'm going to make it through this month. I'm going to, you know, look at and talk to the leadership to try to make it through. How do you make a plan when all around you is on fire?
Yeah, I think there's a choice that you as a leader need to make to have direction, for yourself, to have direction that is aligned with what your stakeholders, your CEO, your investors, your employees care about, and you know, be aligned with your team. It's hopefully not everybody in HR is a one person band, where you have a team that, you know, is working together to deliver against those goals. So if you're just caught in the tactics, you know, this sounds easy to say, not easy to do, but it is absolutely essential. Carve out the time to make your plan. What is it that you're trying to accomplish? You can move 30 things an inch or 3 things a mile. And if you're laser-like focused on what those 3 things are, chances are you'll make a lot more progress. So how do you do it? It's first, it's a choice. And I might point people towards a, you know, oldie but goodie tool, the importance versus urgency matrix that Eisenhower made famous. So, you know, what should you do right now? How are you carving out time for longer range, important but not urgent activities? What can you delegate, and what can you just stop doing? So it's a really simple exercise, but boy, it can be powerful if you actually sit down and spend 10 minutes. Strategy shouldn't take weeks and weeks and hours, like get your plan right.
Yeah. And I've been encouraging people to take that plan to the C-suite and say, is this the focus? This the direction that you want me to be in, and make sure that you're in alignment, as you said, with the stakeholders, and make sure that you're finding what you need, whether it be talent, whether it be compliance, whether it be, you know, policy or process. It's all part of understanding what the direction is that you need.
Yeah. You want to validate your plan. You want to ensure that you're in alignment with your key stakeholders. We in HR, as much as we get trapped in the tactics of the many, you know, demands that are coming at us, we also have a tendency to get focused on HR stuff rather than the big picture stuff that our organizations are trying to accomplish. So if we can ensure that what we're working on is really closely aligned with the things that are most important to the business, without some giant logic leaps, we'll be much more likely to get the support and the resources for what we're trying to accomplish. And we'll get a real seat at the table.
You know, it's interesting. One of the things that you mentioned was really in alignment between, obviously, the CEO and the stakeholders. And that sometimes changes because of either shareholders come into the picture or other things that make. And as you said, there's a lot of reflection today on social issues that organizations are dealing with, pressures on social media and others that they've not had to deal with in the past, and that haven't affected HR in the way they are today, whether it be in compensation, whether it be in diversity, whether it be in all these different areas that are really putting pressure upon the organization, and they're looking to HR to do that. How do you suggest to work with organizations to have them improve their capabilities and capacities? And what are you seeing as maybe the top one or two issues that is really causing HR the most stress?
Well, let's start with the second question. What's causing HR the most stress? And that is too much from too many places. There's absolutely no way that you can keep all of your stakeholders happy all of the time. There's absolutely no way, no matter how many hours there are in the day, or how many people you have on your team to get it all done. So many people enter the HR profession as helpers, as people pleasers, with a strong social outlook. Like I enter this role to help others and deliver, and I love the immediate gratification of the thank yous and appreciation that I get for doing the work. Today's environment is really hard to please all of those folks and do all that you're being asked. And so what that results in is you just absolutely have to prioritize and push back and say, yes, that's important. I agree. We'll get to that in the second quarter. Or what do you think about me delaying this project so that we can add this one to the team's plate? So that's not natural for a lot of us, but it's absolutely essential. That's what's burning people out is not pushing back, not prioritizing, and saying yes too much.
It's probably one of the challenges with pleasers,
yeah.
Right? That conflict issue, that ability to, not that HR can't, they do, they deal with conflict every day, but it's usually not towards them. It's more between employees or between issues and dealing with situations. And this is really where they're being conflicted about direct contact or conflict. And dealing with the difficult people, and everybody wants a different thing. And senior leadership is screaming one thing. And of course, you're sandwiched between the line that wants a totally different thing in terms of what they think is important. So, you know, I think when we're talking about this, it really is a lot about what's their role. I have a lot looked at job descriptions for HR. Mm-hmm. And they don't align at all today with what was written back in the 80s or 90s or even the 2000s. I'd love to say I've seen some that's more current, but to be honest, the role hasn't changed that much in that many years. What do you see in terms of that?
Yeah, in terms of the evolution of the role itself. Let me give you a little bit of context. So I do a lot of work with private equity backed companies. I'm an operating partner and senior advisor for a mid-sized PE firm that owns 25 or 30 companies. And at any given time, they're looking to place a handful of top HR leaders in their portfolio. So just right before this taping, I was talking to an HR leader about how to select her replacement. Because she's moving on. And boy, that turnover in the HR ranks is generating a lot of this, most of it voluntary. And my other foot is in the high growth venture-backed tech world. So I run an executive education program, you mentioned it earlier, called People Leader Accelerator, where I work with the heads of HR at high growth venture-backed tech companies and help them be more successful. And those are different types of organizations, right? Like often well-established PE backed, you've got the product, you've got hundreds, if not thousands of employees versus tech, which is still trying to figure out what their product or service is and, you know, trying to fill a lot of seats. And, you know, you get the gasoline that is capital poured on your company as you try to spend your latest fundraising round. They have very different needs. But what's common is that the job description for these HR roles is long. There are many different areas of knowledge and skills and competencies that are being expected for that full range HR leader. One that is, I think, really consistent in the groups that I work with is around talent attraction and retention. We're in the midst of the Great Resignation. We're trying to figure out what inflation means in terms of pay rate. We're trying to differentiate ourselves from other companies that are throwing signing bonuses around. We're trying to figure out whether we can have remote work for certain jobs versus others. And how do you tell your story? What is your employment value proposition for candidates to come and employees to stay? That's the sort of thing that I am inserting into a lot of job descriptions, in part because a lot of the business leaders that are hiring for the jobs don't have the language themselves. If you're the business leader, still today, very few people come from HR. And so you're hiring for a function that you don't know really well. And so that's something that belongs in the job description that that's showing up in those organizations that I work with, but it doesn't start out there. You know, the stuff that still shows up is the HR operations and the recruitment and the employee relations and, you know, all the standard, you know, sub-functional things that you hear about. But EVP, how to tell your story and how to enact change are the things that I end up spending more of my time helping companies figure out how to talk about and assess for.
You're listening, of course, to the HR Power Hour. I'm your host, Stephen Chulo. We're talking with Andrew Botwell, and we're talking about some trends here in HR, right? What are the current trends that we're seeing right now? You know, you made an interesting statement, which is absolutely true, that you don't see a lot of HR professionals move over to the business leader side or get into that, maybe potentially the COO or the C-suite or CEO level. I know some that have made that switch. Why do you think that is the case? And how do we solve that problem? Because there are an awful lot of smart HR professionals that should be in that role.
Yeah, it happens. I know several HR leaders that are in CEO roles of non-HR product and service companies. And thank goodness for that. You know, if people are truly our most important asset, why aren't the people experts in more CEO roles? You know, I think a piece of the answer comes back to the grounding of the person in the HR role. What's their knowledge set? Why are they doing the work? Are they there for social advocacy and, you know, people pleasing drivers? Did they fall into the role from an administrative or recruitment role? And they don't necessarily have the same MBA, master's degree, multiple certifications that some people that may move into finance and accounting or sales management roles have. I think that's part of it. So that the grounding on average is a little different. I think the orientation is often a little different. Like why are you in the business role? What are you, how well do your activities and aims line up with your stakeholders? I think those are the two biggest reasons. It's, you know, mindset and preparation. And some people have a mindset that can bring them to the C-suite very quickly. I've seen incredibly rapid advancement. And some people have fantastic backgrounds. I mentor somebody with multiple degrees from Yale and executive coaching, you know, certifications, and what superstar on paper and in person. But yeah, I'd say the grounding and the mindset are the primary differences for HR.
Yeah, I do find that even when you're talking to leaders that come out of schools, that and they take a human resource wing of that school and then get down that path, even at Ivy League, it's more about the people than it is about the business. And that's a criteria I've seen a lot in almost all schools. And I'm not sure that we do a great job of balancing that between. By the way, it's no different, as you know, if you're talking about doctors or lawyers or dentists or veterinarians. They're fabulous in their field, great, smart, intelligent people you'd want working on you and doing all those things. But have them run a practice, it's typically why they get bought up so fast by another practice, because they're great with the you know, with the people and all that they deal with for clients. But boy, internally, it's a struggle and they just don't know how to do that.
You know, I thought of another way to talk about it, and that is, who makes the decision to hire the CEO? Who makes the decision to hire the C-suite role? You know, it's often the investors or the board. They're a key stakeholder. What do they care most about?
And you know what we're going to do, Andrew? We're going to talk about that when we come right back in the next segment. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. In today's highly regulated climate,
Customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to Educational HR Radio. Of course, HR Power Hour can be listened to on HRPowerHour.com and, of course, on any major podcast channel. Just go in and put in the HR Power Hour. Like, share, listen, and be educated. Of course, our guest today is Andrew Bartlow, and we are talking about HR trends here in 2022. And Andrew, you were talking as we left the first segment, going into the second segment, about a way of thinking about who hires the CEO and why HR professionals aren't always so easily getting into those type of roles in an organization. So why don't you recap a little bit where you were going and continue that thought as we ran out of time, obviously, in the last segment.
Sure. Well, David, you prompted it with a great question around like why aren't more HR professionals finding their way into the C-suite and general management roles? And, you know, I offered potentially some of the grounding, the education, certifications, preparation cross-functionally in different roles. And part of it could be mindset around, are you, you know, more tactically oriented, taking more of the people pleaser route versus trying to navigate your multiple stakeholders and addressing what some of the key stakeholders might care most about. And that's the stepping off point here. Who hires the CEO? Who is the key stakeholder there? It's often your key investors. And what do your key investors care most about? It's often, credibility to a broader, if you're in a public company, credibility to the broader investment community, who will buy your stock. Has this person been there, done that before in another CEO or C-suite job at a company somebody's heard of? Maybe they're trying to grow by merger and acquisition. Do you have great business development deal sourcing skills? Do you have this depth in the industry? Maybe it's financially oriented. And coming from a CFO background, you see lots of CFOs move into CEO roles. The investors know that their dollars are going to be well cared for. Now, I'm not specifically talking about the PE company that I do a lot of work with. And more broadly, if you think about who your key stakeholders are and what they care about, you are more likely to be addressing their needs and be selected for opportunities like key general management CEO roles.
You're exactly right. And that's why I think it's interesting. And I'm not sure I have a complete answer. And I've certainly talked about this with other people, why more HR professionals don't focus on the business side of where they work. And I recognize we just talked about how busy they are and all those things. I get all that, right? But even before all of the pandemic and the craziness of 2020, 21, and 22, we still had this question of why HR professionals sometimes are challenged in getting into that business side, even as you said, they're not getting the education, the MBAs and all the things they need on that aspect, but they're also not necessarily understanding the full business that they work for. Yeah. And that's an interesting development because you would think that that would be something that would be logical for them to go to.
Yeah, I think there's a really interesting analog. And boy, I haven't talked about this to this depth before. So I love that we're going here. in the finance function, where many CFOs get picked to be CEO. However, many controllers never become CFO. Some of the aspects of a controller are you're highly detail-oriented, you run AP, AR, payroll, you're an expert technically in your field, and many controllers top out there. There's an analog in HR where if you are mostly focused on the technical aspects of HR, but you don't elevate and think about what your key stakeholders care about, you will be less strategic. And so that strategic mindset, I think, is what separates great controllers from great CFOs. And that's what separates great directors of HR, directors of people ops, from great chief people officers with a shot at a CEO role.
Yeah, I do. I think you're right. I think there's this interesting dynamic in that because they do get, well, like I've turned bogged down in the tactical, even if they're at the C-suite level, which is interesting, even a CHRO, where especially today, is doing the tactical as much as they're doing the strategic. I don't care if you have 100 HR professionals working for you, you are still very much involved with that day-to-day. I'm aware of right now a couple of CHROs that are actually hiring right now. They're in the hiring mix, even though they had 30, 40 people, because of the immense need in that area, as you said, from so many people leaving and going to other roles. And so I think that's an interesting part of it. So, what would you, with your experience, recommend to an HR C-suite leader or an HR senior leader looking to get into that has aspirations for a CEO role or maybe even a COO role to get to that point of that mix? What would you recommend some of the things they do to become more successful at that role?
Yeah, I just put together a how to be strategic program for HR leaders. And boy, I'll draw a lot of concepts from that. But here's the nickel tour. I think one is learn the business deeply, not just the HR aspects of it, but how does this organization make money? How does it achieve a return for its investors? Where are most of your costs coming from? Yeah, so learn about the business, major drivers of the business. I could tell an anecdote on that at some point if we have time for it. Second is understand your stakeholders and what they care about. You could do a really simple stakeholder analysis, your first year of business school exercise of who are they, how important are they, how much do they care about whatever it is that you're working on, what are the two or three things that motivate them the most, understand where they're coming from. That will be immensely helpful in figuring out how to align, communicate, and manage your stakeholders. And third, these are all linked, of course, by the way, work on things that your most important stakeholders care about and ensure that they're aware that you're working on things that directly align with the things that they care about. I created a really simple, like deceptively simple, waterfall looking goal chart. You start at the top with what are the top three business goals? And then under it, almost like an org chart or a waterfall, what are the HR goals that support those business goals? If you're working on major projects and initiatives that don't have a direct tie, think twice about whether you ought to be working on them or not. Period. So learn the business, learn what your stakeholders care about, and work on the stuff that matters. Easy to say those things, but very few people actually do an effective job delivering on them.
You said you had an anecdote. Go ahead. We got a few minutes. Give that.
Yeah. Once upon a time, I worked at a real estate tech company, billions of dollars of single family homes that it owned, fixed up, rented out, managed, maintained. And I spent... we had more than 1,000 employees. It was about 1,600 employees at one point. And most of my time and my team's time was focused on the mass of employees that were in operations, that were fixing up the homes and renting them out and doing the work in operations. And we had a vacancy on the capital markets team. And the CEO said, "Hey, where is this? What's happening with this vacancy?" I was like, "Well, it's like an associate level job. What's going on?" And what I learned was, and changed my approach forever, in that particular business, money was made and lost based off of our capital stack. So those billions of dollars of homes and tens of thousands of homes that they owned, the single biggest driver of profitability of the company was how much are we paying in terms of debt service, you know, basically the mortgage on those houses. And if we could save a couple of basis points of interest rate, and that's what the capital markets team did, they were constantly looking to optimize our capital stack. The company could net tens of millions of dollars of different bottom line impact. And so no matter how much more productively or efficiently the operations team worked, it was really a capital markets driven business. And so once I figured that out, and you know, shame on me for not understanding it to begin with, I asked my team, if this three-person group in capital markets needs anything, let's drop whatever we need to drop and get them the support that they need. Is that an incentive plan? Is that an interim person to fill a gap? Is that a development plan? Is that, you know, fill a role immediately, sit down with them one-on-one to talk about some change? Whatever it is, if they need it, let's give it to them because they are driving the business.
You're listening, of course, to the HR Power Hour. We're talking with Andrew Bartlow. He's the founder of People Leader Accelerator. We're talking about HR trends here in 2022 and how to grow as a leader to maybe even the CEO position from an HR leadership role. Of course, I'm your host, David Chulo. And of course, this is HR Educational Radio. You know, Andrew, we've really been talking a lot about that growth of getting HR to be the business leader. You know, I'll give you an example of a very simple exercise I love asking HR professionals when I'm working with them. And I say, have you ever seen and do you understand completely the balance sheet or the P&L? And I am flabbergasted typically by how many have either never seen or, if they did, don't fully understand such a basic tool in business. And not that everybody should be financially literate on every single thing of an organization. They're not finance. But without those, they don't get paid. And HR can do all the work in the world, but if they aren't part of the solution to such a basic thing as the P&L or the balance sheet, then they don't necessarily truly understand what the business is running on. Your example you just provided was exactly that, right? Understanding where the money is coming from, what really drives profitability. And even in a nonprofit, we also know that the best nonprofits are run like for-profits. That's just the truth to make it work. So it doesn't matter whether you're in venture capital or whether you're a small business owner that is a family business or whether you're a nonprofit, or I dare say even government entities, though that's another whole division by itself. It plays by some different rules sometimes. It is truly a challenge that HR doesn't know this.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, that goes back to my, you know, three tips, which is understand the business. That solidly fits into the first one. How does your company make money? What are the major drivers of cost? That's part of the homework in the People Leader Accelerator program, which is, you know, that's a homework assignment. Write down, how does your company make money? Now, for the venture-backed tech firms, they often aren't making money. It's still like building. But we also use, is it okay for me to give a plug to?
Sure, go ahead. Great. Yes, of course.
Yep. Great. Yep. Katie Pfeiffer runs an organization called Recalc Academy, and she teaches HR people how to read balance sheets. And that's something that we've provided to people that go through my education program to ensure that they're growing as business people. And I think that's finding a place where people can learn and they don't feel like their jobs are threatened by asking the air quote stupid question or asking their peers or somebody more senior than them to explain something that they probably feel like they should have learned anyway. Spend a couple $100 if you're doing it on your own, go through a program to learn how some of these basic, you know, tools and P&L and balance sheet and income statement, understand how it works.
Cash flow as well, right? Very important for that whole aspect of it. And how payroll has a direct impact, because usually that's even number one, two, or three of the biggest expenses, depending on what you're dealing with in terms of an organization, typically, in terms of that. You know, as we head into the last part of this segment, and I'll tease the audience a little, we'll talk a little bit about, we've talked a lot about the HR professional and what they could do. I guess the next question logically would be, how do they change the hearts and minds of people outside in the boardroom, in senior leadership, that they're not just that tactical HR person? How, you can learn all you want, but how do you, as you said it, let people know that you're doing this and make that happen? We're going to come back with that answer right after this break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to Educational HR Radio. And of course, you can go and podcast. Get these shows on podcast. They go back a full year. You can listen to all the great content from some amazing speakers. And of course, on Spotify or any of your local iTunes or any other podcast channel. We're there, we're ready, and we're ready to educate. You know, our guest today is Andrew Bartlow, and he has been talking about something that he knows a lot about as founder of People Leaders Accelerator, trends in HR today and how HR professionals can grow and develop to become senior leaders such as C-suite, CEO, CFO, COO, CIO, CEO. How about all C's? Lots of C's there, right, in terms of that, make it happen. But, you know, even for small companies, how do you become a director of operations? How do you become, the right-hand person to the owner? How do you become the owner, maybe, if there isn't a logical family member that could take that business? How could you make that happen? And I think that's really a good comment. But, you know, before we went to break, I kind of teased a little bit about the fact that you can do all this work, Andrew. You can do it all day long. You can learn, you can understand balance sheets. You can understand P&L. You can understand how it all works. But you're not necessarily viewed that way. Your brand doesn't necessarily speak that language. How do you fix that problem?
Yeah, I think in the teaser, you talked about how do you change their minds? How do you, HR people are famous for saying, I want a seat at the table. Well, you act as if, you show them versus you tell them. So it's doing the work. That said, validating your direction and confirming that you're in alignment, working on the right things, are really powerful tools. So let me share a quick example of that. You're an HR leader that wants to have more credibility, that wants to be perceived as more strategic and more valuable. Are you just working on the latest help desk tickets that are coming through and updating people's, you know, addresses in ADP yourself? Or have you identified some big business lever that will make a significant difference for your organization? Let's say you find out that you have 30% of your some key job open in the organization. Wow, maybe I could spend some time thinking about a plan to fill that faster with higher quality people. That's my idea because I came across, you know, this vacancy. So you can show your key stakeholders, your senior leaders, that you're working on the right stuff by then, you know, trotting into that person's office or, you know, getting a meeting with them on Zoom and having a conversation about it. VP of operations, COO, I saw that we have a bunch of vacancies in this important role. Can we game plan how to address it? I'd like to make it one of my team's most important things. What do you think about that? So you're identifying the opportunities, you're validating the opportunities, you're partnering with those key stakeholders to work on the things that they really care about. That's how you are more strategic. That's how you're perceived as being more strategic and more effective. And that's how you really make an impact on an organization.
You know, part of it's also your attitude towards it all, as you know, right? It's about, if this is something you really want to do, you're probably going to have to spend some extra time doing it. What are you willing to put in to make that happen? Because you still have to make sure payroll runs. You still have to make sure that you're hiring the right people. You still have to make sure all the tactical things that you oversee and maybe, or do in some cases, still get done. So there is a timing element to this, right? There is a, is this a 5-year project, 1-year project, half a year project, 10-year project, where you are in your life cycle, where you are in your development. Do you need to go back to school? Do you need to take some online courses? Do you need to understand all that? Maybe, maybe not. What certifications might you need to make that happen? And it all depends, of course, upon what industry you're in as well and what they value or they find important, right, in terms of making that happen. You can have all the credentials in the world, but if they're not aligned with where you work or where you intend to work, because today we're probably going to be looking to move on to something else potentially in terms of where we're going, you know, that has to be in alignment. When you think about that challenge, by the way, you mentioned in the first segment, the same thing I know, nobody has time.
Right.
How do you do that?
There's a saying I'm reflecting on. If you want to go fast, go it alone. If you want to go far, go with others. I think that relates to this topic, which is if you as an HR leader just put your head down and do the work that shows up on your plate, you're going it alone. You're quickly handling transactional issues without really looking up and elevating and figuring out what's important. So carve out some portion of your time to look up, think about what's important, and make sure that you're working on at least some of the most important stuff. Simple stuff like organizational planning, annual goal setting. Most organizations do some form of that. In companies that I've been a part of, in my HR seat, I've often led the organizational planning work. HR is in one of those interesting roles that sees across the full breadth of the organization and all its functions. Finance will sometimes do that. I really like taking the lead and partnering with financial planning analysis, FP&A, to drive the work around bringing clarity to the organization, what's most important for the org as a whole. And then that allows each of the groups, business units, divisions, functions, whatever, to align around it. So I hope I'm answering your question, David.
Yeah, let me just throw out one other part of this as a question as we have about 2.5 minutes left in this segment. And by the way, you're listening, of course, to the HR Power Hour. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to Educational HR Radio, and we're talking with Andrew Bartlow, founder of People Leader Accelerator. Andrew, how important is when you think of HR, they like to hover in a group. There's a lot of HRs that get together and talk about HR. Very important. I'm not criticizing, thinking it's an important part of the, of getting ideas and thoughts. How's it important that they go outside that group and, you know, talk to CEOs and COOs and business leaders that are not necessarily in that comfort zone that they're in?
Yeah, well, essential. You know, we talked earlier about there being this risk of HR doing some navel gazing and working on the stuff in the function that we think is important. And that can lead to a disconnect from what's important and what will work at your organization. So if you're thinking about ratios of how much time do I spend with other HR people at different orgs versus how much time do I spend with leaders and key stakeholders at my own org, there ought to be a really heavy balance towards, as the leader of a function that wants to be strategic, you're spending more time with this cross-functional business group than you are with your own team. Patrick Lencioni, author of Five Dysfunctions of a Team, talks about that concept as the number one team. Who are you ultimately responsible for and trying to support? So yeah, don't get caught navel-gazing. Don't get caught focusing too tightly on your function at the expense of what your organization is trying to achieve. And you're right, you know, like attracts like. We want to be supportive of each other, especially in this world where we're so burnt out and so many demands are raining down on us. And we love best practices. I'd love to talk a little bit about some of the dangers of best practice thinking, if we have time at some point.
Well, you know, as we wrap up this section, we're going to use the last segment to give a couple minutes of those before we end the show today. But you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back with that topic.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and today our educational HR radio guest is Andrew Bartlow, the founder and also faculty member of People Leader Accelerator. Andrew, we have just a few minutes left on the show. Let's talk a little bit about why best practices in HR are not always best for your organization.
Well, thanks for prompting the topic here, especially in today's world where things are changing so fast, you know, COVID, remote work, great resignation, you know, we go on and on. People are searching for answers. And there's often this tendency to latch on to whatever some big name organization or semi-famous management guru has said works. And I would suggest that is tremendously dangerous. In Marshall Goldsmith's words, what got you here won't take you there. You know, and one size does not fit all. If it works at Google with their billions of dollars and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of employees, stable business enterprise and mature management structure, what are the odds that it's going to work at your 50-person private accounting firm? It is a very different context. Context is king over content. So best practices are best for a particular org at a particular point in time in a particular environment. And if you're not applying a little bit of critical thinking, to figure out whether that one size actually does fit you, you're at risk of really setting your organization back by trying to force fit some interesting practice that somebody else is doing that could be, you know, really detrimental to your organization's success. So it's something that I actually talk and write a lot about, where best practices are not always best.
You're absolutely correct. And the context is the key. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how you help organizations grow. You've talked a little bit, of course, about the context of how you do that, but give us a little bit more about that. Tell us how somebody can reach you, and we'll certainly have all that information, of course, on the HR Power Hour site afterwards.
Great. Yeah. Thanks a lot. I do a lot of one-on-one mentoring of HR leaders. It's one of the things that gives me the most gratification. I've been there. I've walked in their shoes for 25 years as a head of HR at companies large and small. And now I have the fortune to help others navigate those bumpy waters a little more gracefully. So that's sort of one-on-one mentoring or coaching, if you will, gives me a lot of gratification. I do that through my consulting firm, Series B Consulting. I also do, you know, some of the fun HR work, which is organizational development and organizational effectiveness. Those are, you know, juicy MBA type words, but what that really is helping companies and teams work better together. And the magic in most cases is around clarity. What's most important for us right now? Who's responsible for what? Some clarity around roles and responsibilities, ensuring the priorities line up. So I do a decent amount of organizational planning work. I do a decent amount of team offsite facilitation around that. And I find that to be a lot of fun. I do that for a variety of orgs, small, large, venture-backed, private equity-backed, and founder-led.
No, that's great. And, you know, really appreciate you taking the time today to be on the show. I think we've talked a lot about the trends in 2022 for HR, and also really some of the key things that can make a huge difference in somebody's HR career to get them to actually run a business, run an organization, if that truly is something they have aspirations to do. It's not as hard as people think it is, but it is something that you have to put a lot of time and effort in to make it actually work. So Andrew, thank you so much for being on the show today.
David, I really appreciate it. Great conversation. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Of course, go to hrpowerhour.com right after this show and you'll see all the information on Andrew. Get a link to his information and bio as well as his organization. And we look forward to maybe having you back again soon, Andrew. We appreciate that.
Sounds great.
All right.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.